Hello, who are you?
Hello, my name's Patrick Lappin, and who are you?
I'm John Osborne. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, we've met before.
Yeah, we've met before. Otherwise, it's unlikely that two people I've never met would do a podcast in one of the people's living rooms.
Highly unlikely.
Should we describe our surroundings?
Yes, certainly. We're in my living room.
UK,
yeah. Interior. That's script writing for interior.
Okay.
On the wall is a painting of that my housemate did. It's of a man smoking an illegal cigarette and going boom, because that's the kind of thing my housemate does.
It's so. A noise your brain makes when you have an illegal cigarette.
Are you jealous of the internet? I bet you are.
We thought we'd do a podcast tonight. We both weren't up to much. It's a Sunday, if that's not revealing too much about our personal lives.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
It's 7:50.
John! No! The CIA are probably listening, you idiot.
Oh, yeah.
God.
And so because we're professional.
Oh, no, it's afternoon, okay?
It's afternoon. And because me and Paddy aren't very professional, we write down lots of things on a piece of paper and then randomly talk about them.
You say we're not very professional, but if our profession was being a shorthand typist, then writing things on a piece of paper would be the epitome of professionalism. So you've made a tit out of yourself there.
That's it. And also, if this was our profession, we don't get paid for it or any money, and so we'd be in squalor.
Yeah, we would.
We're not in squalor.
No, it just looks like it.
Yeah, and smells like it.
No, I'm all right, mate. I've got loads going for me.
So one of the things that I've written on my piece of paper, our piece of paper, although I can't see any of your writing on it, is dinner party.
Dinner parties. Oh yeah, I like a dinner party, mate. If I was...
Right, okay, the next thing on that piece of paper.
No, if I was having a dinner party, I would probably invite four other strangers round to my house and then get them to grade the food I'd made in marks out of 10, and then I would then go round to their houses and we'd do all that, and then we'd see who won at the end.
Oh, you're referencing a telly programme, aren't you?
Certainly am.
Okay.
Come Dine With Me.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant show.
It's my sister's favourite television
show. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Your sister's got very narrow horizons, and it's a quite good television programme.
Okay. I've seen it once. That's how I...
Oh, yeah, you can't just watch it once.
The
you need to watch
you
it.
Can do.
You can do. Can you? Shit! I've been phoning in sick for work for the last 3 weeks trying to catch up.
And also... the Channel 4 digital stations love it. If you were at home,
yeah, because that's the bad and the good thing about Come Dine With Me. It's because, although I think they might have changed it now, but each episode is one person's dinner party, and so in order to get the full effect of it, you have to watch all 5 episodes. Oh, that's how it used to work anyway. I think maybe now they've condensed it into just, instead of 5 half-hour shows, 1-hour-long show. And they do all the dinner party. I'm talking at great length here on the format of Come Dine With Me, the low budget Channel 4 reality show.
The son of a lady my mum teaches with was on it once.
You're kidding me.
Always surprises me.
Why do I find these things out when we're podcasting? Like, why can't we communicate in real life?
I've kept this up my sleeve. It always surprises me when people who are actually perfectly normally functioning human beings try to go on
have to have competitive dinner parties. How was your night? I won.
Yeah. That's how all dinner parties work, essentially. It's just most of them on Channel 4.
My other friend, who isn't you, asked me who would be my ideal dinner party guest.
Mine would be Stephen Fry, because he's very clever.
He would tell
lots of stories.
Yeah.
And everyone would laugh at the stories and go, oh, and you're very clever.
He'd rail against mumbo jumbo, and he would believe in science.
And go, oh, here's something that you didn't know, and he'd say lots of quite interesting stories.
Yeah, and he'd tell you that King Alfred, although he existed and was a king of England, didn't burn any cakes. And it's like, oh, why are you spoiling the magic, Stephen? Stop telling the truth. Yeah. That's what I'd say. And he'd say, who are you? And I'd say, never you mind.
You invited you here as part of you replied to go on, come down.
Yeah, exactly. Just because your souffle sank, you idiot.
Is that when you went to Belgium?
Just because you served mayonnaise with your chips, you bell end. But my other friend...
Ketchup. That's what you want with
salt and vinegar. Fish, if anything.
It's like your favourite condiments.
Yeah, it is.
I like sausage and batter.
I like it when you go for an Italian meal and the waiter comes up with an extra large fish to sprinkle on, sprinkle on your pasta. That's, I often enjoy that. What was I talking about?
Who your ideal dinner guest?
Oh yeah, yeah. But I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that this was a white, like, it's quite a common question that people ask, and it's like, and she said, you know, you can choose anyone you want, alive or dead. And I thought, ooh, I think I'd choose a dead Jamie Theakston, because I've always wanted to scoop out his eye and penetrate what was left behind. And I think I would have more chance of doing that
if he was dead.
If he was dead, already dead, I wouldn't want to kill him.
Oh yeah. Who else would?
I wouldn't mind soiling his body once he was already dead. You know. But then that's just me. You know, I've got morals.
Who else would you choose? Let's say you're allowed. I'm going to say you're allowed five guests, and you've already chosen a dead
Jamie Theakston.
They can't all be dead minus celebrities.
Okay, I would.
They can if you want.
I would certainly have the this one is dead. The dead IRA hunger striker Bobby Sands.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't eat much. You see that? Yeah. That would cut down on costs.
That's good. Yeah.
Who else would I have? Peter Ustinov for the anecdotes.
He'd tell lots of stories. Yeah.
Brilliant anecdotes, Peter Ustinov. Ming Campbell,
yeah,
just because, okay, you know.
Yeah. Seems nice.
Yeah, exactly. And the fifth person, probably Samantha Fox.
Oh, for the lads, for Ming Campbell.
No, she's a lesbian now.
Yeah, they don't.
You try running a successful, particularly if you're doing it competitively, you try running a dinner party without an active lesbian there and you will fail.
Yeah, if I think about the good dinner parties I've thrown and the bad dinner parties I've thrown.
Yeah, the lesbian to non-lesbian quote. Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah.
Who would you have? You've already had Stephen Fry.
He's very clever, isn't he?
He's very clever. I'm pouring gin into a glass, the internet.
Oh, yeah. And tonic.
God, we're like Ross and Brand ourselves. Gin and tonic on air when there might be pensioners listening.
Who would I choose?
Pensioners quite like gin and tonic. Sorry, carry on.
Mate, it's our podcast. We can drink what we want to.
Yeah, we can do, actually.
We had some pasta earlier as well, so...
The eyeball juice of Jamie Theakston, if it was up to me.
I would choose... Well, a lot of people say they would choose Jesus Christ, but he wasn't really known for his anecdotes.
He wasn't.
He
wouldn't make the cut, old Jesus. He did a lot of good things. And also, like, yeah, and it is quite impressive, the old water to wine trick. That's brilliant. But turning loaves into fish. I mean, you know, I want a parsley sauce with that or something.
A minute ago, you were talking about how you liked fish, and now you're mocking.
Yeah, I'm inconsistent, aren't I?
Oh, okay, that's fine. You should have let me know before.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry for not letting you
put a different spin on things.
Yeah.
I would choose
dead air is a crime, John.
Sometimes dead air is a blessing. I've been listening to a lot of Six music.
Oh, Radio's John Osborne fights back.
I'd choose Lauren Laverne as one of my podcasts.
Okay.
She's not a lesbian.
No, she's
sadly
not a lesbian.
Imagine if she was.
Sadly for lesbians out there.
I'd choose Lauren Laverne. I would talk to her about her Britpop days and also about her latter day success as a
broadcaster. A middle brow broadcaster.
There's a lot of comedians that I like, but if I had to have a dinner party, Reggie Hunter.
I'd definitely
choose Reggie Hunter because. Yeah. People don't really think hard enough about who they'd have at a dinner party. They think, oh, I'd choose someone that I really respect and have wanted to meet for a long time. Because I was going to say Damon Albarn, because I'm a massive Damon Albarn fan. I wouldn't want him at a dinner party.
Exactly.
And people go, I'd choose Morrissey because Morrissey's amazing. It's like, I love Morrissey, but I wouldn't want him at a dinner party.
Vegetarian.
Reginald Hunter.
He would be good.
He
wouldn't get on with Morrissey.
Morrissey's not invited, mate.
No, I know what I'm saying, yeah.
If you're asking me
to choose between Morrissey and Reginald Hunter, I would go for Reginald Hunter.
He'd get on with most people.
He would, yeah. I like him. Although a lot of people say he's sexist.
sexy.
Yep.
I was reading the BBC's best football chants of the year.
Okay.
Do you know my favourite one?
No, I don't.
Leighton Baines, you probably think this song is about you. And that works really well because in the first time you hear it, you think that's amazing. And then the second time you look at it, it's like, that doesn't really work. Apart from the fact that Baines rhymes with
Baines. Yeah, that's all you need in a football chant. I don't think they need to stand up to too much scrutiny.
That was obviously my favourite. Another one that I liked was when Robbie Keane joined Liverpool. And I was really annoyed when Liverpool sold Robbie Keane.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But...
he's £10 million for half a season of sitting on the bench.
He only played two lots of 90 minutes for Liverpool. It's ridiculous. But that's not what this podcast is about.
It's not what it's about. Robbie Keane's got his own very good podcast, if you want to go and listen to that. He's got him and Tom Huddleston just vibing.
That's right. Him and Steve Finnan. he's fast, he's ready, sounds like Father Ted. Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane.
He's not red. Oh, he wore a red shirt jersey.
No. And my all time on another one I heard on FA Cup final day, they were talking about Fellaini. They had an interview with Fellaini's dad. Fellaini's the Belgian player who doesn't speak a word of English
and refuses to learn as well. I like that about him.
And he goes out with Rooney's cousin, who's got massive boobs.
does she speak good French or Flemish?
Actually, no.
I wonder what that relationship is based on.
They have a great time.
Yeah, I bet they do.
They say the Everton fans sing, "He's our record signing fee. He's better than Stevie G. Fellaini, Fellaini." It's a really good song. But my all time favourite football chant is when Chelsea sold Terry Phelan to Man City, or was it Man City selling Terry Phelan to Chelsea? All of the fans sang to the away fans, "You've lost that Terry Phelan." Which works well as a weak pun, but also because it's about Terry Phelan. Makes it a little bit more funny.
My favourite one, and it's quite a famous one, is Manchester United, when they have Gary Neville, he plays it right back. Neville is the name of his dad. Both those things are true.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Although I think anyone who's even got a passing interest in football knows that Gary Neville's dad is called Neville.
Well trodden ground, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was told that Gary Pallas's dad's called Alistair Pallas.
I don't know if that's true or not.
It's plausible because
Alistair's a name and Pallister's a surname. Just to explain this gap in proceedings, John's consulting our piece of paper. Now he's put the piece of paper down. And his eyes have moved skywards, but I'm not really sure what's going on now. Villa, I'm an Aston Villa supporter, and Villa, because Villa signed a very cheap African player. He's from Togo, called Mustafa Salifu, and he's never really got a game for Villa, and it hasn't really worked out. But he's kind of become a cult hero for Villa fans, and their song for him is Salifu. Sounds a bit like Daddy Cool, doesn't it? Daddy Cool.
Salifu.
Yeah, Salifu.
Probably what they're aiming for.
I imagine so, yeah. When you're sat in Rosette and the ball hits your head, that's Zamora.
Yeah, because when I was searching for this, it was on the BBC website a few weeks ago, and I was looking for it yesterday and online, and I typed in the Leighton Baines thing, and that Bobby Zamora song came up on this internet forum, and this reply said, "That song is so good, not just for the music, not just for the words, but the music fits in so perfectly."
It's,
like,
it's not depressing. I don't know why you're going, it's brilliant. It's the lifeblood of this country, the football chant. Is it? Do I mean that? I don't think so.
I think you mean the football forum.
Yeah, I don't know what I mean. What's on the piece of paper?
Well, the next thing I was going to bring up was... talk about football. Daniel Dicchio is on Twitter.
Yeah, he certainly is.
And so I'm following him. He doesn't update it that regularly, but...
What a bastard. Dangling the carrot of himself on Twitter and then not following it through with nice carrot. Yeah. That makes me want to puke. Which people often say, has carrots in it. So, yeah. Circle of life, mate.
Wheel of Fortune, as John Leslie said. Daniel DiCchio, it's actually quite... it's slightly frustrating because I joined it to mock and read it quite enjoying it.
Joined it to mock Daniel DiCchio?
Yeah.
He's got loads going for him.
He's still playing professional football. So.
Is he? Who's he playing for?
He's in America. I think he's Toronto or something like that.
And where's Toronto? Which country Toronto in, John?
I meant he plays in Canada. The other week he played for or against Toronto.
Okay.
even the fans couldn't tell.
And the selfish bastard wouldn't even update his Twitter.
Yeah, why is that? Stephen Fry updates it all the time.
Stop going on about Stephen Fry.
And also, I don't want to talk about Twitter because I've been listening to a lot of radio this week and every radio station has to talk about Twitter.
We are against talking about what everybody else on radio talks about. I say everybody else on radio, we're not on radio. although I did text TalkSport yesterday.
Oh yeah, what did you say?
Stephen Hawking. I wasn't being random, I wasn't being studenty and random. The presenter asked, he said, I bet nobody can guess which living person's autograph is currently the most expensive at market prices.
And if you can guess that, then you can text in.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're not live on British radio.
No, yeah. He said, if you think outside the box, you'll get it. And I thought outside the box and I got it. And so I texted in, but I was a fool because that was designed entirely to entice my text message. And so now my phone credit, which I know you're very interested in how much phone credit I've got. I'm on pay as you go, and I'm not ashamed of that. I was on 279, 229 now, because of that. So
50p.
Imagine how I feel. Cold inside, that's how I feel. You don't even need to imagine.
Didn't win a prize, did you?
Won no prizes.
Yeah, I used to... did they read it out?
Nope. All he said was, oh yeah, it turns out loads of people have got it right.
Yeah.
Not Paddy, Norwich.
When Lauren Laverne first started her XFM radio show, I used to text in every day, and she read out my text every day. Made me feel really, really pleased and also a little bit empty pleased.
If you're texting her every day, she's probably reading it out on national radio as evidence. So just in case the worst happens, people know where to find you.
It's when I first got a digital radio, and my first thought when I got a digital radio was I could listen to Lauren Laverne every day. And I did do. Johnny in Scunthorpe, I used to sign them off, even though I wasn't in Scunthorpe. I was 9 miles outside of Scunthorpe. I thought she won't have heard of me. And also, my name's not Johnny, it's
not
John.
John.
I was trying to make myself sound more interesting.
Yeah, no, John Osborne, that's your name.
Yeah.
Because it's like anyone could be called John, but no, you're called John Osborne. Hold on. There's a flaw in that distinctive name of yours.
But it's pretty exciting to have your name read out on the radio. It's a very odd... It's an odd example because you're kind of so used, you're so conditioned.
Even if it's not your name.
You're so conditioned to listen to radio and just accept that it happens. And then suddenly you kind of think, oh, I'm actually contributing.
Yeah, you're part of it. Yeah, I actually did get that sort of frisson yesterday, despite the fact that I was just sent a text that said Stephen Hawking.
Had my name read out on Test Match Special once.
Mate, are you all right?
Also, I was recently looking on YouTube of old John Peel clips because I've got a blog where I upload my favourite clips from radio, and I thought I'd put some John Peel things in there, and I found a really old John Peel section that someone had uploaded, and I was listening to it, and John Peel suddenly said, and thank you to John Osborne for his letter.
Yeah.
And I wrote John Peel a letter when I was about 15 years old.
And did you know at the time that he'd read it?
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I randomly heard it, and it was incredible, and I was going to tell people, and I thought... No one's going to be that interested apart from me.
That's a quirky, lovely little thing.
I'll play YouTube later.
All right, cool. I'm tempted to say hello, we're back again, but then it's only us that know that we've just been for a wee.
Yeah, and also imagine how much respect people would lose for us if they found out that we just pressed pause on the podcast in our own time, even though they already know that we're drinking gin and tonic.
Yeah, they would hate us, wouldn't they?
But it might reassure them. They might be thinking, but surely they have to get to the toilet by now. They've been on for 23 minutes.
Don't give a time like that because a lot of this shit will be edited out, won't it?
22 minutes, 21 minutes, 20 minutes. I should keep going.
So, welcome to the John Osborne and Patrick Lapin podcast. Talking about phone-ins, weren't we? while we were having a wee. Let's let them imagine we were having a wee together, crossing swords. I think that's how I like to imagine us, and I'm sure that's how other people.
Because they don't know that there's two bathrooms in your house. They could think there's just one, and that was their only option.
Shh, don't tell the council tax people. Oh no, that's rates. I'm going back a while now. That's one for you, pre-90s fans. There, the old rates. Replaced by the poll tax, but you didn't like that either. What will make you happy?
I even said who else I would have in my dinner party.
Have you not? You had Stephen Fry.
I didn't even want Stephen Fry. I was just saying it.
All right.
I was just lampooning people that love Stephen Fry.
All right, okay. Well, come on then. Let's answer this really boring question in an interesting way.
Oh, hang on. We were lampooning people that asked this question to start off with. So the fact that I want to finish it means that I'm really stupid. I'll just have my mates.
Yeah. It'd be nicer that way, wouldn't it? I tell you what, and if you do think of anyone later, do a 25 things people don't know about me on Facebook. Because people are always dead interested in those.
Yeah. Oh, they died a death, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, among my friends, it did. Maybe your friends are still plowing on with it. And also, I could do what.
Your friend? We've got the same friends, by and large.
About 79 mutual friends.
Yeah.
Also, we could do what Andrew Collins and Richard Herring did in their podcast recently, where Andrew Collins wanted to tell a story and Richard Herring wouldn't let him, and so Andrew Collins did an additional 10-minute podcast that you could download as well if you particularly wanted to.
I think I read about that. What was it about? Because it was about a specific subject.
I don't remember the subject, but it was a story that he'd once told that people thought was really funny, and he's clearly not used to people finding him that funny, and so he's still dining out on it.
That's like, I need to become used to people finding me funny. I can't just tell a story that I dumped a girl for not laughing. I'm going to need to say now, aren't I?
I think so.
I was going out with a girl when I was about 10 years ago, more than 10.
Fair play, mate.
Cheers,
fair play.
Cheers, mate. More than 10 years
ago. What was it like?
Oh, it was ace. But she was really, really pretty. But we didn't really have a lot in common. And we were...
Don't need a lot in common if she's really
pretty. It's when I lived in Cheltenham, and we were walking down... We were walking down Cheltenham High Street one day. And we were walking down Cheltenham High Street, and a shop... This sounds like a really poor setup for a joke, but it actually happened in real life. We were walking out, and she
sounds like a poor setup for real life.
There was a shop had a display, and it was summertime, and one of the mannequins had a sarong on, and she said, "Oh, a sarong! I used to have a sarong. In fact, I had two sarongs." And I said to her, "Yeah, but two sarongs don't make a right." And was really, really pleased with myself, and looked at her, and got nothing, yeah, blank. Yeah. And so I finished with that.
I think you're...
Yeah, well, people said I was being, like, really shallow and really stupid and stuff, but, like, I'm sorry.
I think that's actually being really perceptive and aware that it would ultimately lead to nothing.
Thanks, John. So she was really pretty, though, so I have regretted it ever since.
Yeah, how pretty?
Like, nearly as pretty as my current girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was she blonde?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing. That's my favourite colour of hair for a girl.
Do you know, it's not mine, but I always seem to end up with them.
Yeah.
It's fine, though. It's
like... Can't say them. You racist.
No, yeah, but it's just one of those quirks of life.
Virgin Airlines got told off. They got a lot of legal trouble because when they advertised jobs for air stewardesses, they said that... we're looking for blonde air stewardesses, and it was...
I think you're probably right to get in trouble for that.
Yeah, wasn't they?
Yeah, in fact, that's really bad.
No, but they are. They do look pretty, though, blonde air stewardesses.
But it's not... I don't think the colour of your hair influences how pretty you are. I think you need more than
it's
a particular colour of hair.
Yeah, because I've seen girls who aren't blonde that are pretty. Tara Palmer Tomkinson.
Where's our piece of paper?
Oh, it's it.
Not that I'm not enjoying this sexist conversation. So we're coming to the end of this here podcast.
Which is shame.
What have been your highlights of the podcast?
Of this particular podcast?
This podcast. Actually, don't say, because it might get cut out.
That definitely will be my favourite bit as well.
Although you're in charge of editing, so...
Yeah, we record... it's a bit like a Mike Lee film in that we get into character for about 3 weeks, we record, keep it running for 12 hours a day for 3 weeks, and then we just pick out the best 25 minutes.
Yeah, we are exactly like a Mike.
That's not film. What Mike Lee picks, about 90 minutes, not 25.
Yeah, it's a bit self-indulgent, isn't it?
James Corden, the fat one from I know from Gavin and Stacey. The internet might not know.
The internet can Google itself.
Okay, yeah. He did a Mike Lee film. I think it was All or Nothing, which is one of my favourite Mike Lee films. James Corden plays a chubby teenager, which is quite a stretch. And he said,
"Hold on, I've seen him in an Alan Bennett film with us.
Oh, he's been in the History Boys as well.
It's a good film as well.
And he was in the Channel 4 comedy drama Teachers. He's been in a lot of things.
And Fat Friends. That's where I met Ruth Jones.
Yeah, he presented
Ruth Jones. That was like my Rigsby impression from Rising Down.
That's good.
But if it instead of like Francis De La Tour being in it, Ruth Jones." Because instead of Miss Jones, Ruth Jones is what I've said.
Andy Jacobs from TalkSport says that he sees Francis De La Tour on the train every day.
Yes, I've heard him say
that. Every day he just wants to go to her and go, "Oh, Miss Jones." I think that one day he will crack in.
The thing is about, actually, Andy Jacobs has got a regular job where he has to be on the train at the same time every day. What's Francis De La Tour doing on the same train every day?
She's got a show. She's got a football
is
show.
She's temping.
Yeah. And James Corden said that he was telling his uncle about this new film that he was doing, and he said, "Oh yeah, it's with this guy called Mike Lee. He's amazing. You don't have any script that you work with at all. You just improvise, and then he'll give you a bit of a script, but he won't tell you the whole story, and you just have to go in. And all you know about is your own story. You don't know anything that's going on in the film. You don't know what the other actors are doing. It's just the best thing I've ever done." And my uncle said to me, "Are you sure this guy's legit?" I so rarely watch films that when I find a director or an actor that I actually like, I kind of feel really... it's basically Mike Lee and Leslie Nielsen.
I like Jeremy Beadle stroke Harry Hill with the YBF franchise. That's
£250.
£500 in its heyday, mate.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was when Beadle was still alive, you know.
£100 when it first started.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Any final thoughts for the podcast, Paddy?
My friend Ed shagged his boss up the arse last night.